If you're anything like us, you want knowledge, you want it fast, but you also need it to be thorough. You want the real insight, not just a sea of raw data. And today, we are getting into a pretty monumental shift in technology. It's not just, you know, rewriting the rules for AI, but it's really redefining what a game even is. Mm-hmm. We're doing a deep dive on Google Genie 2. Mm-hmm. For the last year, all the talk has been about models like Sora creating these hyper-realistic videos. But our mission today is to go deeper and explain why Genie 2 is such a foundational leap past that. We're moving from watchable content to, well, to playable generated worlds.
And that's the one thing to really hold on to from this whole deep dive. It's that distinction. Genie 2 just completely shifts the goalposts.
Yeah, okay.
Sora, it generates a passive video file, an MP4. You just watch it.
Right.
Genie 2 generates what Google is calling a world model or an executable stream.
So it's live.
It's live. It's interactive. It's a simulation that's actually responding to you. The technical term they're using, which is a mouthful, is action controllable video generation.
Okay, let's unpack that. Action controllable video generation. It sounds incredibly dense, but it feels like it's the core of this entire revolution.
It is.
It's not just predicting a straight line of frames anymore. It's waiting for your command.
That's precisely it. You know, traditional video, even AI video, is sequential. The AI figures out frame one, then frame two, and so on from a prompt. Genie 2 is different.
How so?
When you, the user, pick up a controller and say, press the jump button, the model processes that action instantly.
Instantly.
It predicts what the character should do, how the world should react, and then it renders every single frame after that based on your live input. It's the difference between watching a movie and actually directing it as it happens.
And that real-time response, that's what makes it a game engine, not just a video generator.
Exactly.
And this is where the jump from the first version gets really interesting.
Oh, it's a massive jump.
If you remember the first announcements for Genie 1 back in 2024, it was... Well, it was limited. It made these rough 2D side-scrollers kind of pixel arty.
A proof of concept. Impressive, like a sketchpad. But Genie 2 is the full canvas.
And that's because of the training data.
It's all about the training data. The new model has a really deep understanding of 3D space. The first one just didn't have that at all.
Which is critical, right? 2D is one thing, but 3D means...
It's a whole other level.
Right.
It's predicting how objects block each other, how perspective shifts when you move an inch, how light bounces. And Genie 2 handles it because it's been trained on over 800,000 hours of modern gameplay footage.
You know, the moment this really clicked for me was that medieval castle demo from the sources. That was the real aha moment.
Yes.
So the user uploads a single photo, just a generic castle exterior. Genie 2 builds the outside, and then the user just starts walking your character toward the gates.
And this is the magic part. As the character moves through those gates, the interior courtyard, the architecture, the textures, it's all generated instantly.
In the loading screens.
No loading screens. That was the key takeaway they kept stressing. The world is just built on the fly, right in front of your eyes.
But for that to work, the performance has to be incredible. We need to ground this in some numbers because seamless generation is a huge claim.
Absolutely. And the specs are what make this a reality, not just a concept.
Yeah.
Genie 1 was. It was struggling. It barely hit 5 frames per second. A slideshow.
Unplayable.
Totally unplayable. Genie 2, running via cloud streaming, is now hitting a smooth industry standard 60 FPS.
Okay, so that's the benchmark. That's a truly reactive, playable experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if the frame rate's there, what about physics? If I hit something, does it react properly?
This is one of the most fascinating parts of the whole architecture. Mm-hmm. If you knock over a vase, let's say, it shatters. It looks convincing. The pieces scatter correctly.
But how?
Here's the thing. The model was not coded with physics laws. No equations for mass or gravity.
So it just guessed.
It learned physics. It learned the rules by watching millions of videos of things breaking, things falling, things interacting in both the real world and in games.
So it's not following Newton's laws from a textbook. It just watched a million apples fall. Its physics are visually correct.
Exactly. It's generating the visual consequence of physics, which is really all the player needs to feel immersed. It understands cause and effect through pure observation.
And that idea, that learned knowledge, that takes us to the killer feature everyone's talking about, text to game.
Right.
If you're listening and you've ever had a game idea but felt blocked by tools like Unity or Unreal, this is for you.
It's the ultimate abstraction layer.
It means you don't need to know 3D modeling or scripting or anything. Anyone with an imagination is now basically a game developer.
We're used to LLMs taking our language and giving us text back. Genie 2 takes our language and gives us a whole interactive 3D world.
And the example Google showed was just It was wild.
The prompt was so specific. Create a survival horror game set in an abandoned spaceship, realistic lighting, first-person perspective.
And the result wasn't a screenshot or a little video clip.
No, not at all. In under 40 seconds, literally less time than it takes to make a cup of coffee, the user is just dropped right into these dark, claustrophobic corridors. You can immediately move around.
But the real power is the editing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The on-the-fly editing. The user didn't have to stop or reload. They just paused, typed, add zombies.
And they just appeared.
They just appeared. Right there in the environment, reacting to the space, reacting to the player.
The source has posed a really interesting question about this. Is this the real democratization of gaming, or is it just total chaos?
And it's a valid question. If creation is instant, does that just flood everything with low-quality derivative stuff when the only barrier to entry is typing a sentence?
Right.
The analysis in the source material suggests that, you know, at first it might be overwhelming, but the people who really succeed will be the ones who master prompt engineering, who learn how to guide the AI.
It sounds like magic, but there has to be a powerful engine underneath. And it's easy to assume this is just another huge, large language model. But that's not what's happening here, is it?
That's a really crucial distinction to make. Genie 2 is not an LLM like we think of them. It's built on a different framework. It's a spatio-temporal transformer.
Okay, let's break that down.
Spatio refers to space. It can model a 3D environment. Temporal refers to time. It models motion and consequences over that time. So it's engineered from the ground up to understand how things interact in 3D space across time.
Which is exactly what a game is.
It's exactly what a game engine needs.
And the scale to train something like this, to generate 60 frames of playable content a second, that must be just immense.
The scale is staggering. Google confirmed they used their brand new TPU v6P chips for the training.
And the parameter count.
The rumors are hovering around 500 billion parameters. And to put that in perspective, that's 500 billion tiny weighted decisions the AI makes about how to render a jump or how light should fall in that hallway.
All trained on that 800,000 hours of gameplay.
That's the secret sauce.
I mean, 800,000 hours. That's like watching video nonstop for over 91 years. That's how much it's observed.
Right.
There's a simple way to think about it, like a racing game. The model wasn't told, if right button, then move car right.
No, of course not.
It just watched hundreds of thousands of hours of racing games. It learned that when the input for right comes in, the visual result has to be the car turning and the horizon shifting left. It's pure cause and effect from observation.
And that learned relationship is why it works. Which brings us to the big debate happening right now. The market impact.
Yes. The wheel game developers lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Question that just exploded everywhere.
Is this the end of Unity and Unreal Engine?
It's the core conflict. If I can type a prompt and get a game in 40 seconds, why do I need a team of 50 people for 3 years?
Well, we have to look at the expert take on this from places like Teak and Game. And their answer is pretty definitive. Not yet.
Okay, why not?
Because Genie 2 currently lacks what they call complex game logic.
What does that mean exactly?
Think about it. It can create these stunning interactive visuals, but it can't manage the deep systems behind a modern game. It's not going to build you a complex RPG inventory with stats and weights, or a branching narrative that remembers your choices.
So it's the beautiful interactive stage, but the actors don't have a script yet.
That's a great way to put it. It's visually reactive, but it isn't systemically deep, which is why the industry is starting to see it as a huge opportunity, not a threat.
The co-pilot, not the pilot idea.
Exactly. Its real power right now is in rapid prototyping.
So a level designer.
A level designer who might spend weeks building a test map can now just type out their idea. A bioluminescent forest path at midnight with ancient ruins. See it in 10 seconds, tweak the prompt, and then take the best version and build it for real in an engine like Unreal.
It turns weeks of labor into seconds of pure ideation.
It's a paradigm shift for creativity.
And speaking of that, the sources had a great story about Teak and Game getting data access and putting it to a real-world test.
Yes, that was fascinating.
They gave it this incredibly specific, culturally dense prompt to really push the training data. A racing game in the streets of cyberpunk Tehran, flying pride cars, neon lights.
A great test.
And the result was just a perfect summary of its power and its flaws. Mm. It instantly built Tehran's Milad Tower, but gave it this purple neon glow. It nailed the cyberpunk feel.
And the car.
The car was this futuristic angular thing that they said looked like a Tesla Cybertruck mixed with a Pride, which is an Iranian car brand.
The level of specific world knowledge needed to fuse all of that on demand, Tehran's architecture, a local car, a sci-fi aesthetic, it's just mind-boggling. It's so much more than just pulling assets from a library.
But it wasn't perfect. We have to mention the cracks in the logic.
Absolutely not. The collision physics were buggy. The car would sometimes clip through walls. Hitting something felt more like sliding on ice than a real crash.
Which confirms that lack of deep game logic we were talking about.
It does. But the fact that it could pull all those complex ideas together into a playable world in under a minute, that's still a historic breakthrough.
Which leads to the bigger long-term vision Google has for this. This isn't just about prototyping tools. It's about what they're calling the dawn of Netflix for generative gaming.
It's a radical idea, a future where games aren't files you download. They're just generated for you on the fly, streamed to your screen.
Personalized.
Completely personalized. They paint this picture of a PlayStation 7 where you turn it on and there's no library of games you've bought.
Just a question.
It's just a question.
Yeah.
What do you want to play today? And it builds that world for you in seconds.
The sources are calling this the dream to play era. And Genie 2 is the first real sign that the wall between wanting an experience and immediately playing it could just disappear.
So to bring this all back for you, the listener, the big picture here is that Genie 2 marks this shift from passive video to real-time 60 FPS interactive 3D worlds, all driven by plain language. We're watching a new medium being born.
So what does this mean for you right now? Let's look at the timeline. Google says the developer API is coming in early 2026.
With the general public version following fast by mid-2026.
That is an incredibly fast timeline for a technology this disruptive.
It shows how confident they are in the model's performance.
Which leaves us with one last provocative thought to leave you with.
Mm-hmm.
If creation becomes instant, if anyone can generate a bespoke, playable world on demand, a world that might only ever be played once by one person, what happens to the perceived value of a game?
Does that scarcity, the years of work, the big marketing push, does all of that just vanish when a unique world can be summoned in a moment?
That's the question we'll leave you to think about.